I'm very excited about doing this last class, lesson 10, and so I promised that I would go through the process of actually renewing your mind from a scientific perspective, which is rewiring our brain. So I promised that I would take you through the process and take you through the steps, because how many of you know that sometimes it's really great to have a formula and knowing what to do to get to where you want to be. And so I'm on day 20 today for my last period of 21-day detox, and I can tell you, looking back over my notes, it works. Being consistent and staying focused and being disciplined about your thought life will change your life. It will change your mind, which changes your actions, which changes your life. It changes the path that you're on and everything, because I just realized that sometimes we find ourselves on the path that is wide and easy, but it leads to destruction. And you find yourself in a place where you're looking at destruction in your life and you're wondering, how did I get here? And it was one thought that you took, that you meditated on, that built and got bigger, and the more choices you made in the wrong direction, and you find yourself on this crossroads, and God is continually bringing you to a Y in the road. Continually, you'll continually go, you know, the children of Israel went around and around the mountain, right? And that's what God does, is we take this wide road, and what it does is it curves around and it comes back to this place of choice. And that's where I've been this week, the last 21 days, is just coming to the place of choice. Am I going to choose love, or am I going to choose fear? And am I going to choose how I'm going to respond to the people in my life, or am I going to react to the people in my life? And I know that through this whole time, I've used my relationship with Dwayne, because he's the closest one to me. We spend a lot of time together, and so he's the one who brings out what's on the inside of me more than anybody else does. But you know that you can use what I've been teaching with any relationship in your life. It's all about relationships and building relationships and growing strong in our relationships and finding out which relationships are good for you and which relationships aren't. And the ones that aren't, you just have to be able to walk away on a path with somebody that's going to lead to destruction. Now, of course, if you're married to them, you still have to make the choice to go down the path that leads to life. And it's narrow and it is difficult, but it leads to life. And when God threw in my face, love never fails, I want you to choose love. And I looked at what love looked like. It was painful to me. It hurt me, and it hurt my feelings. But God said, it is not about your feelings. It is about being purposeful and about eternity. And in light of eternity, what is it going to look like? And so that's where I had to make the choice. And so when I look back at day one when I started, and I was so upset with reading what love looked like, and I was saying, no, it's not fair. And God says, life's not fair. Love never fails. I am love. I live in you. And therefore, you have a capacity to love. And Romans 5:5 says, I have poured out my love in your heart by my Spirit. So it's not even my own capacity to love. I have to pull from that love that God has already placed on the inside of me. It is a choice. Love is a verb. I have it written through here through my whole 21 days. Love is a verb. Love is not a feeling. Even though we love the way sometimes it feels, love is a verb. It is an action. It is something that you do or something that you don't do. If you refrain from lashing out or reacting in an ugly way, that is love. Love is a verb, and so I have that written through my whole thing. Yes, sir?
One more thing about love is a verb.
Yes.
It's a transitive verb. It always
yes.
takes an object.
Always takes an object.
So you don't just love.
Exactly.
You love something.
That's
or
good.
Someone. Mm-hmm. It always takes an object.
Very good.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So the bottom line, when you live your life as a life of love, it's going to produce fruit in your life that you're going to be happy with. And even though it's difficult sometimes to walk in that love, when you know that it never fails, and that's what I tell myself every day, that was part of my action, was reminding myself, love never fails. Your love in me never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I know love never fails, and I'm going to, as an act of my will, Lord, your mind and your soul has to come into agreement with your spirit. And you say, as an act of my will, I choose love right now. I choose to bite my tongue and taste blood rather than have my words go out that would cause hurt or offense. Amen? Okay, so I pass these out at the very beginning when we first started, but if any of you need one of these, I have however many I have here. So this is going to be the process that we're going to go through. The first page really just kind of talking to you about making an investment in Dr. Leaf's 21-day brain detox, which is just a website that you get to go through every day, and every day she encourages you about where you're at. If you're physically going through the process of detoxing, every day she tells you what's happening in your brain. Like, when you get started, you're excited, and you're releasing chemicals, serotonin, and all these different things that make you feel good. So for the first two or three days, you're excited because you know you're onto something, but then on day four, it kind of levels out, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is this going to work? How can I only focus on one toxic thought? But that is the most important thing, is focusing on one toxic thought for that 21 days. You can't focus on a bunch of different stuff. It has to be, what is it that I need to dissolve in my brain? And what is it that I need to create? And so what I'm doing right now is I'm creating a love tree in my brain. And it's going to take me more than 21 days, I can tell you. It is. But what she says is that once the 21 days is that the toxic branch is dissolving and the healthy branch is growing. And so as I meditate on 1 Corinthians 13 and I meditate on what love looks like, I'm actually building my tree. And the more I meditate on it, the more it grows. Remember, what you think about grows. And I was listening to somebody rehearse a story this week, and they have not heard my class. They have not heard what we're doing. And so it grieved me on the inside because I knew I couldn't say anything to them about it, but they were rehearsing a story that had happened that they were offended and upset about and hurt, and as they were telling it, it was creating these feelings and emotions, and I just knew, it's like, that's toxic, and I wish I could tell you what it's doing to you, how it's affecting you. And so it just makes me so much more aware of what we say, what we talk about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we know what's in people's hearts just by listening to them, just by being a listener. Yes, Rhonda.
In the neuroscience that I'm studying, mm-hmm. Everything, when you come across somebody that has this toxic story, if you give them a new story to add to it, if you give
yes.
them some empathy and compassion and
yes.
bring God into it, it overlays that pathway that's been dug. And it gives them something new.
Exactly. And that's part of what this process is about. So, I also have, you remember the poem that I used last week about replace it? Okay, I have a copy of it for you. But then the other thing I have too, and this is something that I just have started my day off with for a few years, and I just love it. And I have it in my head, but I'm going to read it to you so that I make sure I don't get nervous and mess up. It says, a new day. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving in its place that which I have traded. That is to be good and not evil, success and not failure, gain and not loss, love and not indifference, so that I shall not regret the price that I have paid for it. I will greet this day with love in my heart. So I have those to pass out to you too. So you can have both of those quotes or poems, whatever you want to call them. So as we're going through the process, the very first thing that you have to do, number one, is get in the presence of God. Everyone say, get in the presence of God.
Get in the presence of God.
And how do we do that? First of all, we do that by thanking the Lord. We start thinking about Him and thanking Him for where we are, where He is, what He's done, whatever comes to you. We just start thanking Him. Thank you, Jesus, that you rescued me, that you saved me, that you pulled me out of the miry clay, that you set my feet upon a rock. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you haven't left me. Thank you, Lord. And then you praise Him. I praise you, Lord, that you came to earth. I praise you that you have shed your blood for me. You just start praising Him, and then you start worshiping Him. Father, I worship you. You are so amazing. You're mighty, mighty to save, mighty to deliver. You're wonderful. I just worship you and thank you for your presence, God. And as you do that, You're making a connection in the spirit with him as you go through this detox. It like eliminates all of the distractions and the demonic realm that wants to distract you. Because that's what the devil wants to do, he wants to distract you. So the first thing you're going to do as you do this is you're going to start gathering your thoughts. And if there's something really toxic that you want to deal with, what's going to happen is, like right now, as I'm thinking about what I've been dealing with in my toxicity, these thoughts are coming to my brain, like into my consciousness. I'm thinking about several different things. I'm thinking about church this morning, Pastor Wynn's here. I'm thinking about, these are the thoughts that I'm that are coming up and down into my consciousness. And so you, what you do is you focus on, what are we talking about right now? We're talking about gathering our thoughts. And so you have the power in your mind to focus on what you want to focus on, and everything else has to go down. So now I'm going to think about my relationship with Dwayne, and why is it that these things annoy me? Now I'm in day 20, so I've really come a long way, and so I really can tell a difference in how I feel and how I'm reacting. I can tell that that toxic tree is dissolving down to nothingness. And this morning, I'm up in my loft, 6 o'clock this morning, I go upstairs because it's quiet, and I can just be by myself and start thinking about what the Lord has for us this morning, and everything's quiet, and I'm praying, I'm doing exactly what we're doing, I'm praising, thanking Jesus for what he's done, and I hear noise. I'm like, no one's supposed to be awake right now. This is my quiet time, 6 to 7, quietness. It's dark, it's quiet, sleep is happening. Sleep was not happening. It was distracting. It was annoying. But I was telling myself, it's all good. Everything happens for a reason. Take a deep breath. Focus on what you're doing. So I hear rattling going on downstairs. I'm like, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? So whatever happens, the dog's going out, the dogs are coming in, got to get a drink of water, whatever it is. He's waking up and stirring in the house. I'm like, okay. So he goes back in the bedroom, but he doesn't shut the door. He turns the TV on. Because the British Open is on, and he is so into it. He's so excited, and I don't blame him. My boys love golf, and so it's on because they're playing over there, and he is involved. Well, he's got it on, and I can hear it. It's distracting, and it's annoying. And so I'm talking to myself, Tracy, focus on what you have to do today. Take your thoughts captive right now and focus on what you have to do. You have to be able to minister to people today on these steps. You promised you were going to do that. So I focus on it. So I'm gathering my thoughts. That's how you do it. You bring your thoughts together and you let everything else go. And I can tell you, it's difficult. It takes discipline to do it. It's not easy. I'm telling you, renewing your mind is not easy. Okay. So I focus in and the Lord drops a scripture into my head. Now remember, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. You can do this. So we gather. So you're gathering information. You're connecting to Jesus. And so that's step one. So you focus on what you want to detox. So I'm still focused on, why am I annoyed by this? I'm asking myself. So you go into this place of focused reflection. Step two, focused reflection. This is focusing on a single toxic thought with the goal of understanding what the toxic thought is doing to your life. So you realize when you are in a toxic thought that you're releasing chemicals in your body that are not healthy. They're creating imbalance in you, and it's causing stress and ultimately disease. And so you want to make sure that you take every thought captive. No thought should go through your brain unchecked. Okay, so on our focused reflection, you're focusing on this, and this is what I'm focusing on. Why does this bother me? Well, it bothers me. I'm thinking to myself, it bothers me because it's distracting. I'm focusing on this. This is help. It's keeping me from focusing. And the Lord's like, well, why? Why does it have to distract you? Why can't you just carry on? Why do you have to be so interested? Are you nosy? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I am nosy. So I'm taking responsibility for why. Do I feel this way? It's not Dwayne's fault that he woke up before he usually does, right? And he woke up, he's thirsty, the dog needs out. I mean, all these things happen, yet I'm taking it personal, and it's keeping me distracted from studying. Okay, so these are my thoughts. I haven't even started writing yet. So then it says, write down the toxic thought. This is step three, right? I don't know. I don't think I have them numbered because I got distracted. So... Exactly. So you guys know. Actually, if you'll notice on the top shelf, on the top page of page two, it's whited out because I started doing step one and then I didn't do it. I put step one and then I quit putting steps in. Why was that? I don't know. I got distracted. Okay. So write down the toxic thought and whatever the toxic thought causes to come to your head. Now, when you start writing a toxic thought, 2 minutes. Okay, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she just writes and writes and writes, and like she'll just fill up 3 pages like this, and just she just continually writes it all out. That's not healthy. That's not what we're doing. 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes, jot it down, and it doesn't have to be complete. Remember, it's 21 days. So when you start off, just jot it down. Just jot down the few thoughts that are coming to you, like what I just did right there. Just jot it down on paper, get it concrete, so that then you can focus on it and figure out how you and Holy Spirit are going to dissolve this toxic tree. Okay, so this is what you do, the journaling part. So I started journaling, and I put down, I'm afraid to write down my toxic thoughts. What if someone reads it? What am I afraid of? Why is there so much fear? I don't want to hurt anyone, but my words may hurt someone if they read this. There is so much toxic still here that I must continue detoxing. And so this is when I told the story about the phone cover. Were y'all here about the phone cover? So that just, I went through that whole part. I'm not going to go through it again because it takes up too much time. Okay, so then I journaled it out, and then step four is to revisit. So now what you're doing is you're inviting the Holy Spirit to go back. It says, read what you've journaled. Ask the Holy Spirit how and what to change. Write down what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. So as you're writing, and this is one problem I really have when I journal and I'm writing stuff out, I don't like to go back and cross out, and I don't like messing up my paper. I don't like messing up what I've just done. So what I do is I go down below that. And anyway, she just says, writing is cumulative. It's not meant to solve everything on the first day. You take baby steps, and that's where Isaiah 28:10, where it says line upon line, precept upon precept, that's how we do it. It's just a little bit every single day, and as you're doing it every day, a few more branches are falling off. They're just dissolving down, and then you have down to this brand new neuron to where you can just start rebuilding again. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? It just blows my mind how God has created and designed us. Okay, so the main objective would be to start finding solutions to the issues that you're working on. This is in the revisit stage. Ways to get you over toxic thought and build a healthy new one. So step five is the most important part of this whole process. Step five. Step five is where you do the active reach. And this is the action that you do during the day in response to the toxic thought that you're working on. And so it can be the same thing every day, or it can be different every day. Whatever the Holy Spirit shows you to do. And so this last 20 days, what my action has been is reminding myself that love is a verb. Let's see, I was going to write down what my revisit was here so you could see. Okay, so this is where I decide, it says, he can't bring out what's not there. So what is it? I know the root is fear. But fear of what? What am I afraid of? I know love is the answer, but in order for love to abound, I have to dissolve the negative, toxic, fear-based thoughts. Decide to focus on the branches are dissolving. I'm focusing on branches dissolving as I choose to be like God. I choose love. And so 1 Corinthians 13 will be my motto. My active reach will be to ask myself, what would love do? And you know, we have the ability on the inside of us to pause, to stop and think before we speak, before we act. And I can tell you it's so funny because I have done that this last week, and I have actually made a choice to go ahead and not follow the Holy Spirit and just go ahead and say it. I can't remember the exact thing that was happening. Oh, it was Dwayne said he came in the house, and I said, did you find your keys? He said, yes. And I said, well, where were they? He said, they were in the truck. And I said, I told you so. And so, but I knew when I did it, there was the pause, because I was sitting at the computer, there was a pause for me to say, oh, that's great, or to make the choice to be soothing and loving instead of saying, I told you so. Because what it does is just abrasive, and it makes it, it's just abrasive, and it doesn't bring closeness. It brings, I don't know, a little animosity, or, you know, everybody's different with the reaction, but it was just funny, some of the reactions I had. I sent Dwayne a text because I had turned on the air conditioner in the house, and he had gone home because I turned it on for a specific reason, and he had gone home, and I didn't think he was going home. He told me he wasn't going home. He was going to the office. So when I get home, the air conditioner's turned off. And so I said, well, thanks so much. I texted him, thanks so much for turning off the air conditioner without letting me know. Oh, my gosh. But I paused before I sent the text. You get this? See what's on the inside? I'm showing you what's on the inside of me, what I'm having to deal with. I was so annoyed. It's like, okay, I needed that to be on for at least an hour, and it's not on, so I'm annoyed. So instead of calling or anything, I just text him, send him a little, like, under the radar. So he gets home, and I'm in my other room, and he comes in, and he said, a note or something to let me know that you needed the air conditioner left on would have been nice. And I said, you're right. You are right. I just didn't think you were coming home. And so when I get here and you had turned the air conditioner off, I said, we had a little communication. And so I think more than anything, it's helped us to communicate. And sometimes for me, that's painful because I tend to want to withdraw and stay away from conflict and avoid it at all costs. But what it's causing me to do is actually have some confrontation and know that it's okay and be able to express my feelings in a way that's not hurtful or destructive, but saying, this is how it makes me feel. So my active reach, so we're talking about the active reach, is having a way, it's like putting on an extra gun saying, I have extra ammunition for if this arises. And how many of you know that our love walk is constantly challenged? And so we have to have our gun loaded with those love bullets, because if we don't, our flesh and our carnality and our mind is going to be what reacts. And so whether you're in a relationship with a spouse or a relationship with a coworker or a child or a parent or whoever it is, we're constantly in relationship and we're constantly having to deal with conflict. It's conflict management. Relationships are conflict management, really. It's either working out conflicts that you have because we're all so different, and that's an amazing thing. God did it that way. So I want to give you just some examples of some toxic thought and some active reaches so you can kind of have an idea about what I'm talking about. So here's a toxic thought. I find myself considering what could have, what would have, what should have happened, and I'm constantly living a world of what if. So one of the things that you could do as an active reach, which an active reach needs to happen about 7 times a day. Don't you love the number 7, God's number of perfection? So about 7 times a day, what you're going to do is it has to be something meaningful, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be long, but it's meaningful, and it has to be done about 7 times a day. So you're going to be thinking about it, and you're going to be acting on it. Okay, so I choose to not let these thoughts control my future. I'm putting the past behind me. So it's actually, you can actually visualize yourself putting something behind you. And you remember last week I talked about a friend who had some baggage, and so she visualized herself putting it all in a big box, taping it up, putting a label on it, and shipping it to Africa. It is gone. And every time something comes up about that situation or that person, and you say, that is not here anymore. That is in Africa. I am not having to deal with that anymore. It is in Africa. Okay, this is another toxic thought. I'm constantly remembering my bad choices and continually replaying them in my mind. So how many of you remember that if you replay it, if you continue to replay it, what does it do? It reinforces the tree. It makes it bigger and it makes it stronger, like the big, heavy oak tree. And if you keep on meditating on it, guess what? It's just going to get bigger and stronger, and it's going to start monopolizing your thought life. It's going to come up when you don't want it to. Something's going to trigger it, a thought, something you see, something you hear. It's going to trigger it, and it's going to come up. And all the emotions that are attached to it are what you're going to feel. That's why it's important. So I choose to stop playing the movie over and over in my head. I'm switching that movie off now. So picture yourself seeing it on a screen and literally going over there and switching it off, making it stop. You have the power to make it stop. And people who rehearse and scenarios over and over again, it's so detrimental to your health. It's so detrimental to you to rehearse the scenario over and over, what somebody did to you or what has happened with a business deal or anything like that. Stop it. Something Duane, another story about Duane this last week, something really bad happened to his Bobcat. It cost him $5,000 to get it fixed. We have, it's a rental company, so we rented it to people, trusting that they were going to take care of our equipment. They did not take care of our equipment. It ended in bad feelings, bad relationship, $5,000 that we had to invest in getting it fixed. And so something happened this last week, and this happened several months ago, probably over a year ago. And something happened this week, and it just got Duane all stirred up again, and his face turned red, and he flushed. It was like it happened yesterday. And it was like rehearsing the whole thing all over, and I was, oh, honey, we need to just let that go and just release that and release them and just speak blessings and know that God will make it up. God will make up the difference. God will come in and he will bring it all to pass. Everything that needs to happen will happen. And so, but it's just that thing. If it's in there, something will trigger it. And when it comes out, it's damaging you. It's releasing those toxic chemicals that are washing over you and creating imbalance in your body. Okay, so we're running out of time. So the active reach is something that you're going to do that's going to help you to dissolve the toxic tree, but also just as a reminder. And what I really like to do is, to me, the word is the most important thing. And to me, the word can be the best active reach you can do because it's powerful and it's creative. And so no matter what you're worried about, if you can find a word that you can confess over the situation, like this last week, for some reason, I've just been worried about my boys. I don't know what it is. It's just something comes up, and so I, instead of trying to find more information or trying to figure out what it is going on, I just take that as an impression from the Holy Spirit that I need to pray. And so what I do is, as soon as worry comes to me, or like the investigative mind wants to know what's going on behind the scenes, right? What that does is it causes worry and fret. And God says that fretting only causes harm. So I don't want to fret. So what I do is I replace those thoughts. I turn off the TV and I say, Father, I thank you that you have my children in your hands, that your hand is working in their midst. They will revere your name. They will walk in piety and virtue. They will walk in the call of God in their life. They have you living on the inside of them. And I thank you for the convicting and convincing power of your spirit, that no matter where they go, they're going to run into you. If they go to the heights, you're there. If they go to the depths, you're there. I know that you are present, ever present in their life. Their mother doesn't need to be. Yeah. I do not need to be an ever present help in their time of need. I have to trust that God will. They're adults. 27, 29, they're adults. God will intervene. My prayers will avail much. My investigative reports, my investigation, my inquiries, my fretting only causes harm. It's not going to help the situation at all. Zero. Even if I were to ask them questions, it doesn't bring us closer. It causes resentment. They're adults, and I need to treat them as adults and continue to pray for them, because I know God's word will not return void without accomplishing what he sent it forth to do. Amen. And I know that to be true. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in our kids' lives. So those are the steps to take. The active reach is the most important. I'm very excited about going into church and being in the presence of God, and I know you are too. I thank you so much for the opportunity to spend 10 weeks with you. I'm not even close to being done. I still have so many notes that I never was able to cover, but I pray that this has helped you a little bit to learn how to rewire your brain. According to Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. It's a commandment. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an obligation we have. He wants us to look like him. He wants our mouths to be like his. He wants our hands to be like his, our feet to take us where he would want us to go. So that was my goal for this last 10 weeks, and I know that I'm a better person for it, and I pray that you are as well. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I know that these souls in here are hungry and they're thirsty for you, and I thank you that you promised that you would fill those places. And so I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to share your word. I don't take it lightly, and I'm just honored, Lord, that you would fill my mouth. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that we, as we go into service today, Lord, that we just go with open and hungry hearts to hear from you. I thank you, praise you for the praise and worship, that we'll be able to enter into your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. And I just thank you for Pastor Wynn, that you just anoint his lips. And I thank you for the anointing that he has on the inside of him, that he's just going to have a word fitly spoken in due season for us. And we just thank you that as people come in today from the north, south, east, and the west, as they enter into our doors, that they will experience your power, your presence, but most importantly, Lord, your love that breaks off every chain. In Jesus' name, amen.